ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण रीडिंग श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल ब्रह्मा स्टिलिंग द बॉयज एंड काव्स टेक्स्ट 22। तन्मातरो भेणुरव तवरोथिता उत्थापि द्रो दुर्भी परिरभ्य निर्भरम्। स्नेहस्नुतस्तन्यपय सुधावसम् सुधासवम् मत्वा परं ब्रह्मसुतान् अपयायन् Then translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mothers of the boys, upon hearing the sounds of the flutes and the vigils being played by their sons, immediately rose from their household tasks, lifted their boys onto their laps, embraced them with both arms, and began to feed them with their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love, specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything, but at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna, the Parabrahman. And Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarian beverage. Purport. Although all the elderly gopis knew that Krishna was the son of Mother Yashoda, they still desired, "If Krishna had become my son, I would also have taken care of him like Mother Yashoda." This was their inner ambition. Now, in order to please them, Krishna personally took the role of their sons and fulfilled their desire. They enhanced their special love for Krishna by embracing him and feeding him. And Krishna tested their breast milk to be just like a nectarian beverage. While thus bewildering Brahma, he enjoyed the special transcendental pleasure created by Yogamaya between all the mothers, all the other mothers and himself. So this bewildering pastime continues. It says in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Muhyanti yat surayah, that term comes, Tejavari mridatha minimayo. Before that, Krishna is Swarat, he is independent, he knows everything directly, indirectly, and he gives knowledge to Brahma. But the next term says, Muhyanti yad suraya. Although he has imparted all Vedic knowledge to Brahma, but he also bewilders all demigods, including Brahma. Muhyanti. And I never read Bhagavatam intensely unless I have a presentation to give. So I was reading this past time little more intensely, and actually I got bewildered. You know, little bit intelligence we have, but it's such a complex pastime happening here. It's very difficult to figure out what's exactly happening, especially if you read commentaries by Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakurpad. It's really little bewildering. Anyway, so Krishna says in Gita also, Name Vidhu Suragana Prabhavamna Maharsaya. Suragana means demigods, or best of the demigods. So, like yesterday, Akinjana Krishna was explaining, Lord Shiva was also got bewildered. There are the two chief demigods, Brahma and Shiva. Lord Shiva got bewildered by Mohini. Now here, Brahmaji is also getting bewildered. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions later in this chapter actually how Lord Krishna continues to bewilder not only Brahma but all the Brajavasis. Because Brajavasis also didn't know, like in this particular verse we see how when these cowherd boys returned to their homes who were actually Krishna, the mothers felt extremely extra happiness. And the milk was pouring out even more, you know, it was flowing with more vigor. The affection was pouring out. And Krishna was releasing that affection. This milk is actually explained here as a beverage. The word is actually, in the Sanskrit, it is said, Sudha Avasam, Sudha Savam. Asava means actually wine in Sanskrit. Some of our Ayurvedic medicines are asava. You have read? Ayurvedic medicines we take, it ends with asava. That means some self-generating alcohol is there in it, which cures in different, but it has to be taken in a small quantity as medicines. Pura bottle nahi lenega. Entire bottle is intoxicating. But that milk was also like intoxicating because it was flavored with the love of their mothers. And Krishna was drinking them and enjoying them. Intoxication is actually related to enjoyment. Of course, in this world, so-called intoxication leads to miseries, right? But intoxication is supposed to increase our happiness. So intoxication term is not bad in that sense. So here Krishna is actually enjoying, releasing this milk. But throughout this pastime, all the Brajavasis did not know why that affection has suddenly increased. They are getting bewildered, but at the same time, they did not bother to understand why we are bewildered. It's something like that. So, Lord Krishna continues to bewilder not only Brahma, but all the Brajavasis, Prabhupada says, in one of the purport, towards the end of this chapter. So everybody was bewildered. But because the Brajavasis love Krishna, and their entire aim is to please Krishna more and more, so all this bewilderment actually helping them in their devotional service to Krishna. And because of that, they did not bother why these things are happening all. This is good. Let it happen. Let it continue more and more and more. Whereas Brahma, when he got bewildered, he was sinking down and down and down. Because his bewilderment cause was not love for Krishna, but there was some kind of doubts, some kind of calculations, some kind of trying to apprehend Krishna's strength, power. So all these things, all these negative attitudes caused him trouble. So in this pastime, Krishna is bewildering practically everyone. And it is such a nice pastime. So when Brahma stole these cows and the calves, Krishna played a very innocent, played like an innocent child. He went, saw the calves were not there and returned. So Chakravarti Thakurpada mentions, Krishna went over to search for the calves, did not find them and returned. Why he returned? Because he knew where they are. He saw and didn't find them, as if, you know, he just went, he knew what is happening, but he went to see them. And he returned. So in this way, Brahma was getting bewildered from the beginning. He was thinking Krishna did not know, because actually he was knowing everything. And he was playing like an actor. The good actors, like we have so many dramas, all these devotees perform, like I was also performing very nice dramas. The actor actually knows what's exactly going to happen in the future shots, future scenes. Even the conclusion, the actor knows everything, in and out. But at that particular moment, he performs so nicely, as if he also doesn't know it. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And that's how exactly Krishna was playing. Like Brahmaji in the end actually offers prayers and says, Krishna, you are the greatest of all. Sir Sukadeva Goswami says, Krishna, who is the greatest actor, he enacted this pastime for the pleasure of all. And it is also mentioned, Krishna performed this pastime for the pleasure of Brahma. Actually, now I'm just getting confused. I should speak something later. I'm speaking now. Okay, please forgive me. Anyway, so then Brahma stalls and he leaves. Now, this thing happened for 1 year. So Krishna saw nobody was there. Then he expanded himself to so many forms. And he returned home and this particular pastime happens. We just read now. The mothers became overwhelmed by seeing their sons, which was normally not as much as they experienced that particular day. And nobody came to know what exactly is happening. And this continued for 1 year. And that was Brahma's one moment. So this is time dilation in our relativity theory, we know. We discussed something about that. So Brahma is going and coming back. One moment is passing for him. He quickly comes back because he wants to see. He didn't want to miss the fun. He just goes and quickly comes back. That quick is 1 year for Krishna in this loka, in this world. So Vishnu Thakur Pad very nicely narrates this. What is happening this 1 year? Every day Krishna is going to the same spot of Yamuna. After killing Aghasur, they had lunch in the bank of Yamuna. He's going to the same spot and having the same lunch with his friends, who are actually himself. And then again he goes to the pasture searching for the calves, forest to forest, every day. And he returns, he doesn't find them, and again expands and returns actually alone back home. He returns every day, he returns home alone. He's not coming with his friends. Every day for 1 year, he's returning home alone. And every day is enacting the same pastime again and again and again. So that nobody doubts. So this thing goes on. This is like something very, you know, complex again. Same thing is doing every day. So even if Brahma had to return in between sometime, he would see Krishna still searching. Something like that. And he returns. So all 1 year, Krishna is practically alone. He was missing his friends. Friends were not there. He would go eat food with himself, basically, with his expanded forms, and again search the calves, didn't find them, come back, and again expand, something like that. It kept happening over and over and over again. So what Brahmaji did in his attempt to do this mischief act, he made Krishna suffer separation of his friends for 1 year. So who are these friends? It is explained that Brahma Samhita, there is a nice verse. Ananda chinma rasa pratibhavitavis tavir eva nijarupa taya kalavi. So Krishna's associates, whenever Krishna descends, he comes with his Nitya Siddha associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They come with their own parswad associates. So these are nijarupa taya kalavi. They're actually Krishna's own expansion. They're very much Krishna's very intimate personalities. Actually, these people, these Brajavasis, great devotees, they're much higher than even Brahmaji in status. And Brahmaji is taking a risk of lifting Krishna's friends, who are actually superior to, in that sense, is superior because they're Nitya Siddhas. They're better than Brahmaji, Mahashi, and all these living entities in this world. So, Krishna and even his mothers, like it is said, Devakyam Deva Rupinam. There is a verse comes in Srimad Bhagavatam when Krishna appears from Devaki's mother, Devaki's womb. It is explained, Devakyam Deva Rupinam. So, Devaki is actually Vishnu's expansion. Krishna's own mother. Or in some Prabhupada says, in some places, this term Devakyam Deva Rupinam is actually written as Devakyam Vishnu Rupinam, like that. Sometimes it is explained like that. So there Krishna's own kala means expansions. These all these parshvats, all this, and Krishna performs pastimes with them. And Lord Brahma actually takes them away. So nevertheless, Krishna here expands himself as his friends and the calves. Eko bahusham, one he can perform so many forms. So he performed this pastime for the pleasure of Brahma. Let me explain. Why pleasure of Brahma? Of course, the Brajavasis are definitely delighted by this pastime. They are relishing it, Krishna's expansions. But why Brahma's pleasure? Because Brahma, he is also pure devotee. and he worshipped Krishna, worshipped Govinda. And he wanted to see Krishna. So that desire was so much, Krishna said, okay, you want to see me, I will show many, many forms of myself simultaneously to you. Not just one, but many, many, infinitely many forms I will simultaneously show you, so that you will be completely satisfied. If it's just one Krishna, some satisfaction. If you see two forms, more satisfaction. So Krishna decided to show him many, many forms by which Brahmaji can be completely satisfied, completely happy. So that is why it is said, this pastime was performed for the pleasure of Brajavasis and Brahma. Another reason why Brahma got bewildered is it's kind of pride. It is excellent. I think Gaurangpa was giving a class. He was saying that how when all the demigods approached Sesasai, the milk ocean, to offer their prayers and their petitions to solve the problems of Mother Earth. And at that time, the Lord communicated that I will appear, and also you demigods should also appear in various families to assist me. So Lord Brahma transmitted this message to the demigods, but he did not personally participated in assisting Krishna in his pastimes. He just stayed back in Brahmalok. Just assigned the task to other demigods. So this was a kind of disobeying the instruction in this sense. When Krishna said demigods should appear, so Brahma should also appear. So that disobeying the instructions, directly or indirectly, whatever it is a sign of pride, kind of. Just avamanana means you disobey, it's a sign of pride. So here Brahma did a small mistake there, and is explained, therefore Krishna performed this bewilderment pastime later to bewilder Brahma and to check his pride. So then the pastimes continues, Krishna appears and so many pastimes happens in Vrindavan. Then finally this Aghasura was killed. And when Aghasura was killed, he was one of the most prominent demons. And the demigods are really, really frightened. And like Sri Chaitanya Prabhu was giving class, he was saying, Aghasura also defeated Indra and all. So by defeating Aghasura and all, subduing them, Kamsa declared his, you know, sovereignty over all, including Indra and all these personalities. So definitely demigods are very, very afraid and apprehensive of this particular personality. And when he was killed, it was a time for celebrations. They couldn't check themselves. You know, still Kamsa was still living. But when this person was killed, they couldn't check themselves. That was an uproarious celebration in heavenly planets. There was singing and dancing and beating the drums, you know. Celebration means drum beats. You know, just keeps people dancing. Like jambe, something like that. They're beating the drums and dancing, all the apsaras were dancing, and that was such a tumultuous kirtan. It reached all the way to Brahmalok. So Brahmaji was still sitting in his place, but he heard this music happening. And there is a verse in the previous chapter, it is there. Tad adbhuta stotra suvadya geetika. Suvadya, it was very pleasing, but uproarious. Geetika, songs. Adhuta, it was wonderful, beautiful kirtan. Jayadi naikotsava mangala swanan. Naikotsava means it was ustava, celebration to glorify Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Jayadi, jaya jaya, all the sounds were coming. Then srutva sodhamna anti. Srutva, Lord Brahma heard it while residing in his own dham, sodhamna. Anti means nearby. So that vibrations was raising from one lok to another lok. So he was thinking as if it is happening next, you know, just nearby somewhere. So he got up. The aja agato. Aja means unborn, that is Brahmaji. Agato means he comes out. How? Achirad, quickly. Like sometimes when we perform kirtan, these devotees go for Harinam. When you go in the lanes and by lanes, people hear the kirtan and suddenly they just quickly come out to see what's happening. You know, you have seen people just come out of their house and see, watch for a few minutes. So Brahmaji, whatever he was doing, he just left. Just got up. Achirad means quickly he got up and wanted to see what's happening. What's happening? Then Drushtva Mahisaya Jagams Vishamya. So he was wanted to know what is this Bismaya. What is this wonderful thing happening? He wanted to know. And then he saw that Krishna actually finished Adhasur. And this is something was very surprising to him. And he was thinking, ki, how could this happen? Sometimes, you know, if you are in charge, you are in control, and something happens without your notice, then we get kind of bewildered. How it could happen? Aghasur is supposed to go through so much of, reactions. Supposed to, because it's sinful. Agha, personified, is sinful. Supposed to get some reactions. But here he was killed suddenly. It's shocking. So then the acharya explain, therefore he was thinking, oh Krishna, if he's so powerful, then let me see how powerful is he. Or I will put a challenge to him. And because he's not a demigod, he's supreme demigod, he would not do it in a demoniac way, but in a very sophisticated way he did it. Kind of sophisticated way. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur Pad explains, so Brahma stole the calves and boys created by Maya. So there is another thing to it, which we will not discuss. So he says, he is thinking in his mind, when I steal the boys and calves, will Krishna show some power? And another wonderful first time. Another way, he missed seeing Aghasur being killed. Demigod saw it. They are always watching what is happening. Who is next? Who is next? Who is next? You know, Putana, Trana, Vartana. Who is next? They are always watching. But Brahma was like kind of observed in his own abode, in some activities, some pastimes. So he felt, I missed watching Aghasura being killed. So I missed some wonderful, powerful display. I missed it. So let me see some more power. Let me see Krishna's power. So when I steal the boys and calves, will Krishna show some power? And another wonderful pastime. Will he search and search and search and find the cows himself? Will he come to Brahmalok and find him? Or will he come to me and pray to get them back? See, I couldn't find. He would be defeated in my power. In presence of my power, he would be defeated. And he would come and request, please, please return my friends, I'm missing them. Oh Brahmaji. Like that he would glorify me and ask for them. I'll understand his power is limited. Like that. Or will he not be able to understand anything? If Brahma stole, that also he will not understand. He would just weep and weep and weep and that's how he will pass his days, rest of his life. So all these kind of dangerous thoughts were crossing his mind, unfortunately, in one sense. But also Acharya explained, like yesterday our Akanya Krishna was telling, Brahma cannot make any mistakes. He was bewildered by Krishna's arrangement and desire because he is a pure devotee. Somebody was saying that how somebody, Sampradaya Acharya, he is like original Acharya of our Sampradaya, how he committed mistake, and we are reading that in Bhagavatam. I know people ask such questions sometimes. So I was kind of telling him, oh, Krishna is glorified after all, so, so he is happy about it. But at the same time, Acharya, I just found out, Acharya explained, it is Krishna's desire so that he can become, he did many things at the same time. He became son of the gopis, and he became the calves and entertained everyone, fulfilled everyone's desires. At the same time, he was getting Brahma also bewildered. So Brahma thought like this. And instead of bewildering Krishna, he became bewildered more and more and more, like he was sinking gradually. And things will be unfold in the future verses. But reflecting on this, doubts. They say doubt is a sign of intelligence. But actually, it is not intelligent to doubt. In the sense, there are two things. If you see our Bhagavad Gita, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnana sevaya. Pariprashna means inquiry. Inquiring to know what is right, what is wrong. What is truth, what is untruth. Submissive inquiry will lead us to knowledge, basically. It will lead us to knowledge. Submissive inquirer is always eager to know the truth, nothing but the truth. And he understands he lacks this knowledge and is submissive. Therefore, he is growing actually. He is enthusiastic, he is open, and he is actually developing in his personality, in his knowledge. Everything is developing. Whereas a doubtful person, Krishna says, doubtful person, pranashyati, they destroy, they gradually perish. So doubts, what happens? When we doubt, that means we don't even have faith in what we're going to hear. So when the truth is presented, how am I going to accept it? How my ignorance is going to be dispelled? It's not possible. So therefore, this doubting kind of attitude has to be carefully kept away from our consciousness. Our Mahanand Prabhu was giving this Sunday Fest class, and he was saying, Sunday Fest or Bhagavatam, I don't remember which one. He was saying how this doubt means lack of faith, basically. Faithlessness is permeating in society everywhere. Now, because modern education system is actually kind of based on doubts, asking challenging questions, and trying to make the professor bewildered. You know, such things happen in classrooms. I will ask such questions that he cannot answer. I just go back and refer his books. Things like that. It happens, right? We have undergone that kind of experiences. So this kind of attitude is not good. It will not help the student, basically. So here, Mahanand Prabhu is saying this faithlessness is not a good thing. Shraddha, people say, how can you have Shraddha when you don't know? How can you have faith in something, somebody is going to speak, that you don't know? How can you accept it? But actually, faith is required in our lives. He was explaining very nicely. Because if faith is not there, then everyone will doubt everyone else. And that's what is happening in society. And everyone is doubting everyone else. If faith is there, then only we can trust each other and grow. So now, you know, father is doubting their children, will he join ashram or not? Things like that. These doubts are there always. Husband doubts wife, wife doubts husbands, and both doubts their children. Things like that. Friends, each friend is doubting others. There is no love, no faith actually. So these ingredients, if we take them away from our lives, then our life will be very horrible actually. So this is, first of all, we have to understand this faith ingredient is required. And with that faith and confidence, one should submissively inquire instead of doubting. Then all the knowledge that will come our way, will be able to absorb. So, here Brahmaji was a little doubtful about Krishna's abilities, power, so he put him under test. Whereas all these things were happening for 1 year, and Krishna was, you know, playing this role, every day searching, and then entertaining all the Brajavasis in a very, very personal way. And at the same time, nobody could able to understand what's happening. So later we'll see how Balramji, even he got bewildered, in the sense he couldn't understand what's happening, the change was there. But then he saw something And then through his transcendental vision, he could understand these are all Krishna's expansions. And at the same time, as you know, he is the Adi Guru. So he is displaying through his activities that he understood, but he was not confirmed about it, whether they're actually Krishna. So he wanted to ask Krishna, what is the mystery behind all this? And he's very submissively asking. You know, he also had some kind of doubts. He wanted to clear it. But he submissively asked Krishna, what is the cause behind all this? Why are our friends? It seem to be all you. So he submissively asked, Krishna immediately clarified his doubt. So he was not in. So in the whole pastime, we see how this submissive attitude is required, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually very nicely puts. Tranadapi sunichena tararapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. So a little bit about this verse, then I will conclude. So there are three things. Tranadapi sunichena, second is tararapi sahishnuna, third is amanina manadena. The first two lines, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving an analogy or comparing, like some humbler than blade of grass, or tolerant than tree, second. But third is not comparing with any analogy, just a man in the manadana. The first one is tranadapi sunichena, means lower than the blade of a grass or straw. The straw is actually falling on the street. People trample this, go by, they don't notice it. It has no value, no significance. So when we understand, like Brahmaji, the kind of thinking, he is a demigod and things like that. But actually Krishna is so infinitely great. In front of him, everyone else is like a lower than blade of grass actually. So unless we have this mentality that I am insignificant, it doesn't mean that inferior. Not like that actually. Constitutionally, I'm insignificant. Like Sri Haridas Thakur, Ramachar, he says, when he was about to leave his body, he says to Chaitanya, what is the loss if I live? You know, an ant dies, what is the loss? You will continue to enjoy your parshads are there, and you are always surrounded by such nice devotees, so there is no loss. Of course, Mahaprabhu says, how will I survive without you? But then, as a living entity, as a spirit soul, we are actually very, very insignificant, and we have no power. Like Tran has no power. So when I understand that I am insignificant, then I will appreciate everything or whatever I am getting, and my reciprocation, our gratitude will be there. And there will be enthusiasm to serve Krishna and devotees, being in this knowledge. But while rendering service in this kind of state of consciousness, one has to tolerate different things. So then Mahaprabhu says, tarar api sahishnuna, more tolerant than trees. Now how? Because tolerance, like Gaurang Prabhu was giving the other day class, he was saying different type of things you have to tolerate. Four types of things. It's called four types of dualities. One is called bega. Bega means urges. Like you have to tolerate the urge of mind, krodha, greed, anger, all these things. Lust, which is the first shloka of Nectar of Instruction. It's a kind of bodily level in the sense, body and mind. Krodha Begum, for example, anger. We have to check, we have to tolerate. It has to be applied correctly. So the trees, when somebody goes and cut the trees, the branches and the whole tree, you don't see the tree expressing any anger. For example, greed. Urge of greed. The tree gives everything away. Whatever it has, it gives everything. Even own life it gives away. So no greed is there. No lust, no selfish enjoyment, whatever, give away. So all these beggars are actually, you will not find in trees. then there is Dvanda Sahishnuna. That means dualities, all the dualities, like heat and cold, like that. So these are the tree also in the summer also, it gives shadows, in the rainy season it gives some shelter from rain, in the winter it provides some warmth. You know, tree bark you can cut and put on yourself, there is warmth. So in this way, it is tolerating all kind of dualities, and at the same time offering service. So serve, at the same time tolerate, two things. And then there is also two more dualities, that is called Paramatta Sahishnuta. Paramatta Sahishnuta means tolerating others' opinions, which is tougher actually. Tolerating others' opinions, it's very tough, you know, we can see in day-to-day life. And then Para Utkarsa means tolerating others' success. So one tree may be giving Kerala, the other may be giving mangoes. So Kerala is not affected by other tree giving mangoes. It doesn't reduce its production, you know. It continues to serve. Whatever I have, I will continue to give. That is the attitude. It's just tolerating other success. So this tree is actually a symbol of tolerance. And Mahaprabhu is giving that example. But then Amanina Manadena, now this is something that humans have to go through. So therefore, you don't find any analogies in the other cases. Samanina means give all respects, so don't expect any respect in return. That is the toughest one, because it is going to the ego level practically. So body, mind, ego basically. So giving respect, not expecting any respect for oneself is something very difficult. But then when we go through all this, so criticism, disrespects, all these things will come our way, and we have to just tolerate them. Unless we tolerate, we cannot progress. And Krishna is helping every devotee to overcome all these anarthas, all these obstacles, so that actually you can experience what the Vrajabhas is experiencing. They are experiencing unlimited bliss. Krishna is always protecting them. Vrajabhas is always protected. So many demons came, nobody could harm anyone. They are always protected, they are always loved. You will not find Vrajabhas ever be neglected by Krishna. Never. Because they're in this stage. Even Brahma got bewildered because of some little, you know, misapprehensions. So now, His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj actually tells in one of the quotes I read, he says, Krishna is willing to pulverize our false ego, turn it into powder and granules and just dissolve it. But are we willing to still serve Krishna when go through that pain of removal of false ego? So that is the question. So we come to Krishna consciousness, and all these anarthas Krishna is trying to remove, but we cannot take it all. It's very difficult. How do you know that we have false ego? Only disrespected or criticized, basically. Right? How do you know something is opposing? So when you put a force, there will be a reaction. You know? You try to open the door. If it doesn't open, you know it is resisting. So that means that force is there, it is present. Similarly, how do you know you have false ego? If somebody criticizes, it passes through you. Doesn't disturb you, just passes through you straight. That means false ego is not there. But it gets stuck, that criticism is opposed in some way or other, that means, and we can experience it. It's a duality test basically, ego test. Something is, so many Krishna will arrange so many criticisms and disrespects to come our life. And if we pass through it, then we can actually serve Krishna by tolerating all these different dualities, basically. So therefore, this chapter is speaking so many things. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I just crossed the time limit. Please excuse me. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Haritaya Gaur Premanande.